Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And you got to see John Wick 3.
Parabellum. Which I believe is an old wooden sailing ship used during the Renaissance War.
Okay.
That may not be what parabellum means. It may mean war. I'm not.
Well, bellum does mean war, having taken the Latin.
It could mean... It's possible that's what it means.
Is there a sailing ship in this film?
Oh, no. And there was also no Renaissance War. I mean, for what that's worth, no. It's a... honestly, this is a... just this... it's a symphony...
It's actually a semi-automatic pistol or machine gun.
That's what a parabellum is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense for this movie, then.
You went in waiting for a ship?
No, I it's not a ship. That was just me being stupid.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know.
Achievement unlocked.
None of that was for reals.
Like, oh, okay.
It is honestly...
I just had a great idea. Too bad the next one can't be John Wick Antebellum.
Well...
I do declare.
If you look at the trajectory of the first one opened, I think, like 14. The next one opened to 30. This one opened to almost 60. Like, I know you're joking about, like, the antebellum part, but, like, you're not far off from their pro. Like, somebody has already said, so what about John Wick Chapter 4? Like, I think probably using, like, Scarlet, you know, and mm-hmm. this one, just, I say red. I'll never go hungry again. Just be
Let's
like,
talk about the franchises Mr. Reeves has been in. That would be The Bill and the Ted.
Which is getting a third installment. They are filming it now.
With him?
Yes, him and Alex Winter. Now, for obvious reasons, George Carlin will not be in the film. But they said that they will... address that in some way. Because, I mean, Rufus was a pretty large part of that series.
Dude, something's afoot at the Circle K.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I've been wanting this movie since, 1990? It's whenever the second one came out.
Easily. And then, of course, The Matrix.
Which I will heavily informs this set of... like, he is using... he is almost definitely using things that he learned... in those movies, because more or less, like, he learned kung fu those films. And, like, those were 20 years ago, but, like, he's still stretching some of them Neo muscles.
Ooh.
in this
Does
film.
Does he levitate?
No. Take away, like, the superhuman abilities, but, like, the kicking and, like, the guns and the creative ways of, like, you know, beating, maiming, or killing a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, The Matrix movies, although they were rated R, like, they weren't, like, RR. Like,
yeah.
They were, like, kind of a PG-13 R.
Mm-hmm.
This is an RR. Like, basically, it's a two-hour action scene occasionally strung together by light bits of plot. But they get remarkably creative in the way that they choose to murder people. Like, for example, they run into a stable... and one of them, and Wick is standing right beside a horse, and every time one of, like, the henchmen or the bad guys or anybody that's trying to fight him comes up, he punches the horse, like, in the leg and makes him kick.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of him throwing the punch, the person is getting kicked in the face by a horse.
That's a pretty powerful
thing.
They don't
address this. You don't get to see, like, the aftermath, but I'm pretty sure they're dead.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not like it's one of those miniature horses. Like, this is like one of those full-grown ones that appears in, like, the Budweiser, like, commercials.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I see that. A franchise that should have been, but sadly is not, Constantine. I stand behind it. I enjoyed it.
During the, I guess, kind of the press, like, run he's been doing for that, somebody brought up Constantine, too. He said he would be up for it, but he doesn't know if there's any interest from DC on that part. And considering the movie was, I want to say, 2005?
I've recently rewatched it. Still enjoyed it.
Well, it's for a 15-year-old movie, it holds up remarkably well. Like, and I would even argue that the television series that also, like...
I watched that, too.
...referenced Hellblazer. Mm-hmm. And he's appeared in the... I don't know what you're the CW DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
Constantine's appeared in Legends of Tomorrow. He's appeared in Arrow. And they've said he may be getting his own series again on CW. Possibly.
Well, you see, Supernatural is retiring, so that would fill the hole.
That's a good. That's a good kind of thing to fill that gap with.
Yes.
But that's not the Keanu Reeves Constantine. But no.
No. But still, I just want to put that out there. I like the movie.
If you have not seen that, like completely separate from the movie that we're reviewing, Constantine is actually a really solid. Like it deals with, think John Constantine, if instead of like just killing mere mortals, like he's attacking demons and like mm-hmm. things of if Neo was the Exorcist. Like, kind of think that.
And a young Tilda Swinton, if someone had said, you know what, you're going to have a great career playing androgynous characters, there's no one else doing that.
Well, who else is...
I know, and she's...
as well qualified to do... it's kind of like James Earl Jones. Name me a contemporary of James Earl Jones. Like,
nope.
Who else has that? I mean, maybe Lawrence Fishburne? I mean, maybe. But, like, I would still hold him a distant second mm-hmm. to James Earl Jones, like, just bassy growl. Like, there are people that just, they don't, you can kind of get close, like, mm-hmm. but they really don't have anybody that's operating on that particular level.
Alice Krieg, close, but doesn't take a lot of those roles.
No, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
The Borg Queen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I was pretty sure. All right. That's a nice pull.
I don't know what else she's done, but Borg Queen, because she reminded me of Tilda Swinton in that. But you know what? We're not talking about any of these people because they're not in this movie.
And Constantine is not the movie that we're reviewing.
Now, John Wick is a comic book character.
He is not.
Oh.
It's an original.
What?
Well, I mean, original in so much as this is the third film, like, in that series. It's honestly the best way to describe it is a symphony of violence.
And
it is an aria of sorrow.
This is Keanu Reeves' version of Jack Reacher, yes?
Kinda. I think you could draw that parallel. Mm-hmm. Like, but again, this, like, whereas in Jack Reacher was, I believe, PG-13, mm-hmm. I don't think Jack Reacher is. I think just
Okay.
You don't necessarily have to have like the religious ramifications of the actor.
All right.
I can play Gandalf, but I don't have to, you know, worship like whatever wizards worship.
I don't know if
I would not cast me as Gandalf.
Anyway, now I've got to
do wizards worship. Yeah, that's a whole other podcast.
I can think about that forever. So, John Wick, I did not realize. I thought it was a comic book of some sort.
John Wick is an assassin. Mm-hmm. And like,
did he want to be? Or did he like wake up and find out he's like a Jason Bourne assassin? It's like, or, because I've seen the other two, but it's been a while.
He wanted out. Like,
okay.
And he ended up getting out. But this film, because of something the films like to kind of dovetail into the next one. Like, this film, I'm not going to spoil anything with it, but it very much leaves the door open for a chapter mm-hmm. four, if they so chose. And at the end of two, he had done, they have rules. Like, think almost like the way gangsters,
they,
not gangsters,
or
not
assassins.
Gangsters, the assassins.
Assassins, they have rules.
They have rules. Almost like gangsters. Like, you know, like there's the, you don't do this, like you make sure to respect that. Like, whenever we're in this place, like it's kind of neutral ground. Basically, in the previous film, Keanu Reeves' character, John Wick, did something on a neutral site, and now they're basically saying, okay, you violated that, we're putting a bounty on your head. Mm-hmm. But putting a bounty on his head is like, I mean, this guy is he's the top of the, it's, you remember in Captain America Winter Soldier, when they were like, Captain America is wanted, you need to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking out jets. Like, he gets in the elevator and he's just like, anybody want to get out? Like, whenever they say John Wick, like, needs to be stopped, it's like whenever they tried to stop Steve Rogers in Winter Soldier. Like, sure, you're going to get a lot of points, or in this case, you get a bounty for getting John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
But that $14 million could end up costing you your life.
Yeah, I would think so.
And in most cases, a lot of cases, I didn't tally it while I was watching it, but a lot of people did not get the $14 million.
I wonder how they arrived at that figure.
I'm sure there's some kind of computational thing that you punch in, maybe on a computer
or something.
There's an abacus that they throw it into and move. Yeah, it's something like that.
So it's just John Wick protecting himself and trying to avoid being offed.
Well, there are people that he's helped in the previous films. And basically at this point, he's coming to them and just being like, listen, I did this for you, mm-hmm. and I need this now. I cannot have these people chasing me. I need to get to this person because they might be able to. It's him kind of cashing in like his chips or like calling in old favors. Like I said, there's a, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, the way that I normally say, like there's very little plot. There is enough plot to make sure that the action scenes have purpose. But the thing that is on display here is the action, and it is genuinely spectacular.
Nice.
Like it is, and like I said, the one does not necessarily like, it doesn't feel like you're watching that same scene over and over. Like, there's another scene. There's a fight scene in a library where he uses a book basically to break a guy's neck, dislocate his jaw, like just ways of violence and means like that never would have occurred to me. Like every scene is its own separate beat. Like you have sword fights, you have gunfights. Like for lack of a better term, he is fighting with gun fu during this entire movie. Like sometimes you get punched, sometimes you get an elbow, sometimes you get a kick. Sometimes you just get your face shot. Like, mm-hmm. really, it's whatever he's got. They, one of my favorite scenes, they go into this antique weapons shop, and they keep breaking the cases open, and they're throwing knives at each other. Like, in the way that, like, some people would play, like, darts. And, like, he is just sitting there just unloading knives, just tossing them into people's heads, throwing them into their, like, their shoulder or their arm. And, like, the guy has aim. It's just, it is a spectacular, like I said, just a symphony of violence. And you almost have to applaud the ingenuity and the originality of the ways that they find, like, you would think man kills other man. Like, how much can you really get out of that? 2 hours and 10 minutes. And this is the third film in the series. And all of them are just genuine creative ways. He's like a Jason Voorhees, except he's not this supernatural beast, but there's a lot of people being killed.
So how does Halle Berry and Angelica Houston and Ian McShane fit into this?
Ian McShane has been in the previous two movies. One of the establishments that I mentioned earlier about the kind of the neutral ground.
Mm-hmm.
He commits a murder on an establishment that Ian McShane runs.
Lovejoy, that's it.
I didn't ask a question.
I love Ian McShane. I first realized who he was.
Ian McShane,
Disraeli,
is pretty fantastic. And
yeah.
There was a short-lived NBC miniseries called Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very expensive. Like, I think it went 10 episodes. He's in it. Spectacular.
Yeah.
He was in Deadwood. He was electric.
Yes.
In Deadwood. Like, even in, I'm not a fan of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, but it was the fourth one. I think it's the fourth movie that he's in. He plays a pirate in that one, and he's one of the best parts of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the surrounding movie, kind of disposable, but Ian McShane is not disposable. Like, I really like that guy in whatever he decides that he's going to do.
You would enjoy the series Lovejoy. I would say it's a modern-day Banachek, but that may leave you in the dark as well.
There's
George Peppard, anyone?
People may not get that reference on top of it.
But yes, he was Lovejoy. But I first saw him act in, it was probably a BBC thing that PBS aired about Benjamin Disraeli. So he starred in this miniseries called Disraeli, and I'm sure he was quite young at the time. Now I'm going to have to look it up. But I just thought, that guy's amazing.
Like his delivery. It just,
yes.
He is a very, like, nuanced, talented. Like, the decisions he makes, like, whenever he is performing, like, they just, you are drawn to him, whatever he is doing on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
What was the Halle Berry? He had helped basically get her daughter to safety, and he's kind of calling in, just being like, "Listen, I did this for you. I understand that you know helping me right now is not the best thing for anybody in their life, but I need this now. Otherwise, you know, I'm not going to be hanging around tomorrow."
Wow, he's 76.
Ian McShane?
Yeah, he looks great.
I was going to say, he's wearing it well.
Yeah, way to go. And just, I enjoy him as I do Lawrence Fishburne and the whole Angelica Houston.
It was very nice having Morpheus and Neo share a little screen time together, like, which I'm sure was probably part of what they were doing.
Yeah.
Whenever they cast the two of them in the same movie. And I mean, he wears John Wick wears a lot of like black suits, like the parallels you could draw between this and The Matrix, I'm sure are lost on absolutely no one.
Oh, Angelica Houston is just delightful.
And Angelica Houston is almost kind of like a stand-in matriarch for mm-hmm. him. Like, that it's the place that he grew up, and like he goes back just basically saying, I need your help. And she's saying, okay, well, you've been excommunicated from, like, you know, the assassin order. I'm going to face retribution for this if I help you. And he's just like, listen, blah, 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 blah. They start quoting, like, basically it's like, it's within the rules of this. And she's like, well, I think the other negates the other. And he's basically, it's just them going back and forth until she's like, the debt is paid in full. Like, after this, mm-hmm. like, nothing.
She is what you would call a handsome woman.
She is a powerhouse of an actress. I will give her that. But yes, I think handsome woman is probably probably spot on.
She looks a lot like the men in her family who came before her.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah,
handsome woman. Anyway, I know I saw the first two John Wicks and I enjoyed them. I just couldn't remember really what they were about, but now I vaguely do. And
I mean, it's a lot. You can fill in some of the, much in the way that the James Bond movies are, they write the action scenes first.
You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry, Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, talking to you from the Podcast Center.
You've got these big action set pieces, and they determine, okay, we're going to get, you know, this BMW. It's going to be, you know, driving around on this boat, and then it's going to flip off, and we're going to have these very elaborate pieces. And then you go, okay, well, how do we get there? Like, the story is a lot of times written around those, because setting that up, figuring out the logistics of it takes longer than having a writer, whomever you've got, just go, okay, well, how do I need a reason to get from point A to point B. Because, I mean, at 20, what are they at, the 25th or 26th movie in the franchise, I don't want to imply that they come straight off an assembly line, but, like, there's a certain math to James Bond movies.
Yes.
I would not be surprised if in some of these cases they were like, okay, I've got an idea for how he kills the guy. I don't know why he's here. I don't know what happened in the scene before it, but I would say to a certain extent, you could even push off some of the, like, stuff that they wrote in 3 or 2, and they were just like, that scene looks spectacular, and like, okay, well, we don't have enough money in the budget for it. And they're like, okay, well, we'll just sit that way. You can kind of slide those in later and just being like, well, listen, if we had a little bit more money, we could have him do this and this. Like, I don't want to say they're interchangeable, but like, the thing that is on display here is not it's not a sprawling narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But watching them do this, and a lot of these effects are practical as well. Like, it's not, they're not doing like 30 cuts to get it look like Keanu Reeves is doing like, you know, a midair kick or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm saying, like, I would definitely say a lot of those muscles he first learned to use, or like some of the skill set that he learned in The Matrix, is very much on display here. Because if I am 40, Keanu Reeves has to be somewhere in his mid-50s at this point.
He is. Let's find out precisely.
And I was getting winded watching him in this movie. Like, when he's doing that, like he's doing like the, you know, the kicks up, like he's getting knocked down, he's doing a, like a roll over here. I'm just saying, like, this film was not one that he was phoning in it by any stretch.
He's in Toy Story 4.
I don't know.
He is.
What, but I'm intrigued. Maybe he's a John Wick action figure in that movie.
54. He'll be 55 in September.
I knew that had to be about right. But I'm just saying, like, Keanu Reeves is not moving like a 55-year-old man in this. Like, it is honestly just an impressive feat. And I would honestly say that, like, the whomever the stunt coordinator was in this movie probably deserves some kind of bonus. Because in no small part, he is a large part of that $60 million opening, which, by the way, finally moved Avengers Endgame out of the number one spot.
Toy Story 4, he is Duke Kaboom.
Duke Kaboom is John Wick's cousin.
Okay.
I'd believe it if somebody told me that.
And Bill and Ted Face the Music does come out in 2020.
Maybe I should not be as interested in that movie as I am.
But I am too.
But here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah, pretty much. So I was going to add something amazing to this, and it was think. I already forgot. Anyway, it'll come back to me at some other point in time when it is inappropriate to bring it up. That's what I'm thinking.
If I had a choice, and like this is, go ahead.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to say when you were mentioning ages, that if only you had been in the Matrix, you too would fight like a ninja right now.
No, I don't think I would have aged as well as Keanu. Like, I mean, he is in a Dorian Gray kind of situation. Like Alex Winter, his co-star in the Bill and Ted movies, Alex Winter has aged. He does not look like he did in 1990. Keanu Reeves, I'm going to be perfectly honest. If you shaved his head here and put him on a bus standing next to Sandra Bullock, I'd defy you to tell me how much how much time has passed if you didn't know from Speed.
Oh yeah.
Or like he is a genuinely like ageless actor. Like when he did 47 Ronin. Unless you're just doing the math going, okay, well, the year is now 2019. He was this old in 1990. He must be this old now. Like, he's kind of aging either in reverse or he's just stopping.
Fascinating that Alex Winter did so much Broadway. Anyway, so, but yes, he doesn't look bad, but he does look the age. I would put him right around that age.
Yeah, but Keanu Reeves, like I said, I don't know if he just, he doesn't, you know, de-stresses or whatever.
I guess.
But the man has aged well. And this film is not indicative of somebody that is close to being 60 years old. What I was going to say is, and this is not on the table, no one's even mentioned this, I would love to see John Wick team up with Deadpool. I mean, just having Ryan Reynolds just rapid fire some quips while him and John Wick literally kill everyone.
That sounds like fun.
Maybe get Nathan Fillion in there as
Nathan Fillion makes everything
as Captain Mal. Get what's his face. They're not doing what's the zombie Drew Barrymore.
Oh yes, Tim Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, we'll bring him out of Justified. Get his character in there. Literally, they can
slut. He's a handsome man.
Berthel, he's not doing anything with Punisher. We'll get him in. Get Punisher, Justified, John Wick, Deadpool, and Han Solo just for fun.
Without the earring.
Well, sure, we can take it out with CG.
Han Solo with the earring, it's just wrong.
You know what? If he'd play Han Solo again in the movie that I just described, I'd let it slide.
Yes, I would too.
I'm just like, we'll just call it we'll have to give him a snappy name or something, but it just destroys the universe.
Bon Holo?
Nothing would survive. Between, and I mean, just imagine the bullet budget on this film alone.
Mm.
I'm in. That's okay. All I'm saying.
Okay, so the movie you are seeing next, Godzilla, isn't that coming out next?
I think it's Aladdin. Oh. I think is.
Oh yeah. So have you seen the Will Smith singing trailer to Aladdin?
I have.
Okay.
And I'm gonna be honest. Like the part of me that loves the Wild Wild West video,
yeah, it's
and loves snappy poppy Will Smith rap from the 90s. I enjoyed it a lot more than I should have. Like I didn't want to. I tried not to. I tried to back away from it. But
and I love that Will Smith too.
I'm just telling you, he sings a siren song whenever that boy raps.
I know. And yet.
Boy, I say boy. He's 15 years older than me.
Yes,
like,
he is.
That boy, he's going places, Jay.
He's aging well. He's turning a little blue around the gills, but he's aging well. Wah, wah, wah. I watched it. And I guess I shouldn't have read the headlines that tainted me first, but I watched it and it was very, I don't know. Underwhelming. I was going to say predictable, but then again.
To be fair.
You can't be Robin Williams. I understand that.
And if you try to emulate him in that movie.
You'll be torn apart.
I'm saying the only person I would have handed the reins of that, besides obviously Robin Williams, if you wanted to go for that style of just manic like performance, would have been Eddie
Kevin
Murphy.
Hart. Oh.
No, I would have given Eddie Murphy should have played the like if you want to kind of recreate that as best you can without Robin Williams, that's the only other guy that I would have brought that to.
Barbara Eden is still with us.
Right, but I would call her a markedly different genie. She's the genie that we...
She's a dreamy genie.
She's the genie that we dreamed of, but not... She was never the friend like him.
That's true.
And Jane, you ain't never had a friend like him.
I know. And Aladdin, there's something about him that annoys me. And I have no reason for this. The Princess Jasmine struck me as perfection on 2 feet... And then it was like, he could be dreamier. I don't know.
I think when you are dealing with classics, and like Disney probably realized that this is the double-edged sword. With Aladdin, you have a tremendous name that like there is money in that brand. The fact that like they're still doing video games or they did several successful like direct-to VHS movies, if it tells you how long it's been since they did them. There was a very popular Saturday morning cartoon with it. The Aladdin tie-in game on the Sega Genesis, I think, was second only to the Sonic the Hedgehog series that they did on there. Like, this is a very valuable brand, but the problem is, like, people have a certain expectation, and in this particular case, like, Robin Williams is iconic.
Yes.
In that role, and I'm not dumping on anybody else in that, like, the having, you know, Iago or the vocal performances.
Is Gilbert Gottfried in this one?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's a shame.
I think he's still in trouble for several offensive tweets that he made.
Oh, let it go.
But the point I'm making is, like,
Affleck.
Anybody that was going to fill in with that role, it's like if Gandalf makes an appearance in the Lord of the Rings TV series and it's not Ian McKellen.
I'm going to have issue.
I'm just saying, like, we don't know anything about it. Robert Pattinson was just cast as Batman in Matt Reeves' Batman movie. And, like, people have started peeling paint from the walls about it. Like, I don't want to get into a long discussion here about it. We can do that later. But, like, Matt Reeves is a talented director, and Christopher Nolan just cast Robert Pattinson in his next movie. You know who knows something about solid, like, unorthodox casting? Christopher Nolan. Little movie he did called The Dark Knight. Cast Heath Ledger as the Joker. Everybody thought that was a terrible idea. Turned out fine, I thought.
A little more than fine.
I'm putting it out. I'm not saying that
Why
he's going
so
to
serious?
Be. I would not have cast Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne slash Batman. But I trust the directors that have said, you need to give this guy a chance enough to go, okay, I'll wait till the finished project before I start saying this was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same breath, Will Smith had a very daunting task in having to replace Robin Williams as the genie, like a beloved character that I guarantee you Disney is still making money from in their parks.
The only feeling I got off of that trailer, which had the song in it, it just seemed like a really huge Disney parade. That's all.
Well, chances are it probably was.
Yeah, it probably was. That's really it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. And there's certainly nothing wrong with Will Smith. It just seemed like I'm at Disney. I'm not sweating copiously. People aren't invading my space, but I feel like I'm watching a Disney parade.
Guy Ritchie would not have been my first pull for the Aladdin movie. I mean, like, I enjoyed his Sherlock Holmes movies. His King Arthur movie was less than enticing. Guy Ritchie does make solid films, but I didn't understand necessarily what made him the person to direct the Aladdin movie. Like, I'm not saying they should just give it all to Jon Favreau because he gives you back on your return, like as far as like your investment. But
you could say Jon Favreau is money.
He is definitely that. Or you could say he was Iron Man as well.
Okay, well, so then you have Aladdin to see, and then Godzilla!
I believe it's... I want to say there's something else.
I don't care. I just want to see Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
I'm not stopping you from saying it.
But you're stopping me from seeing it right now.
I saw stupid 1998 Godzilla. Obviously,
I saw that.
I saw 2014 Godzilla.
I didn't know that existed, but whatever.
It's Bryan Cranston.
Oh, no, I did see that one, yeah.
It's worth checking out if you did. I saw Skull Island. I'm just saying, like, it's not... It's something that's definitely in my wheelhouse. Like, I wasn't going to avoid it.
Anyway, the reviews I've read from the reviewers who have already seen it, they are talking about Godzilla as if this is the best movie ever made. And I think that's going to be hard to swallow.
When people make hyperbolic statements like that, I try to make sure that I take whatever they have said with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're very comic book guy sounding. Best movie ever.
Did you see what they did there? They're hearkening back to the original Tojo.
Okay, so I look forward to all of that, particularly your Aladdin review. And thank you so much for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.